to From Passion to Purpose, the podcast where we dive deep into the inspiring world of nonprofit organization and the incredible individuals who lead them. I'm your host, Shama, and I'm thrilled to take you on this journey of exploration and discovery. We all have moments when we strongly desire to make a positive impact, give back to our community, and change the world for better. For many, that desire evolves into a passion, a driving force that compels us to take action. This podcast is about the journey from the initial spark of passion to the fulfillment of a higher purpose. So let's jump in and begin our exploration. Today, I have Elizabeth Dahl-Halandi from Aurora Commons. She's the executive director. Welcome, Elizabeth. Would love to hear a little bit about you and especially about Aurora Commons, what you guys do there.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I'm Elizabeth Dahl-Halandi, executive director at Aurora Commons. I started there as a volunteer for Open Mic Night. Close friends of mine started the organization, and I learned a lot, everything from them in the early days. I started as an open mic night host. So I was playing my little ukulele and we had different musicians come and play and invited our community to come once a month. And then I was hired on as staff one day a week. And it was everything that I had a burden for in the world, a heart for people, a heart for specifically for homelessness, for creating a space of welcome, was satisfied with this organization. So Aurora Commons' mission is to cultivate community and belonging, to promote health and healing among our neighbors experiencing poverty and homelessness. And so we do that through community building, number one. Our first mission is always to cultivate belonging and community, and to resource from that space of cultivation and belonging. Because we know that you can provide resources, but if you don't welcome and create belonging with the people who are accessing those resources, they don't have the same impact for really supporting people. Because really where there's a deficit in resources, not just in housing, but is in basic humanity and in love for our community of people experiencing homelessness. So we start with that community building and belonging. And from there, we provide resources and basic needs. So that looks like daily drop-in services. So people come into our space, people who are low in poverty or, you know, in low income or people experiencing homelessness, they come into our space. We provide many basic needs, so food, hygiene, clothing, and then from there they can access different resources. So things like one-on-one advocacy, they can have someone sit with them and support them navigating services and, you know, getting their ID or, you know, lots of basic needs. And also, you know, connect to different housing resources, which there are very few of those, but sometimes we're able to connect people to housing and shelter. We also have two clinics on site, health clinics. So one is called the Aurora Clinic, one is called the She Clinic. She Clinic serves primarily women who are primarily women, and it's focused on women who have been commercially sexually exploited or victims of domestic violence and sexual assault. So it's focused on that population. And then the Aurora Clinic is focused on HIV prevention and care. But they're both comprehensive healthcare, as comprehensive as you can be with a clinic in our space. And they're through a partnership with UW Harborview. And so we have UW doctors and nurses and medical social workers on site, which is incredible. And then we provide that relational support and wraparound services to navigate, help our folks navigate, not only with the UW system, but also, you know, we can provide different wraparound services that they need to access.
How many do you serve annually? Just an estimated number.
Because it's drop-in, it's hard to estimate annual unduplicated Though it's roughly 2,500, something like that. Daily, we're now averaging about 100 to 130 people a day. And that's about 27,000 plus encounters a year.
How do people find out about your agency, like if they're needing that support?
Mostly word of mouth. So we don't advertise anywhere and never have. We try not to anyway, because we're always over capacity. Whenever we add resources or staff, we somehow end up seeing more and more people and see more and more need. The folks who find out about Aurora Commons find out from their peers, from their friends. So people bring people. And then when those people have a good encounter, because they're treated with kindness and care and dignity and respect, and they can have their basic needs met, they become, you know, a friend of the commons, and then they bring their friend.
You know, I'm always fascinated to learn about what inspires individual to get into the nonprofit sector. So I would love to know what your journey was and how you got into this field.
Yeah. Let's see. So I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. So I stopped going to the community college I was going to, and I just took a pause to look at, I think just to figure it out and think. It was time to transfer to a 4-year degree, and I just never knew what I wanted to do. And so I thought, well, I'm not just going to go to school and, you know, just start studying for no purpose. I want to know what my direction is. And so I was working in coffee shops in Seattle, some of them downtown Seattle, like in the Pike Place Market, and then on First Avenue by the Seattle Art Museum. And I could find myself when I was there, people would come in who I could tell were experiencing homelessness, I would get excited. Like I just really wanted them to feel seen and cared for and valued. And so I would try to remember their name, and I had a heart for people. I have a heart. I've always had a heart for people that are left out. I really can't stand it when people are left out. Even when I was in grade school, I feel like there was a lot of times when I felt like I was left out of the group or conversations, because we, you know, didn't have any money or dressed weird or, were just weird in general. And I felt like myself really wanting to make sure that people just don't have to feel that, you know? So I wanted to make sure that people felt welcome and cared for. But I didn't know that what that meant at the time. I didn't know that would lead me down this path. I always thought that social work was like, you don't get paid and it's really hard and everyone's stressed out. And, you know, it's not the direction I want to go with my life. Which I then got a job at a nonprofit with youth and doing, I ran a youth art program at Yesler Community Center for a nonprofit called Nature Consortium. And we did art and nature classes, drop in for youth ages 5 to 19 after school. At the community center. So I was there for 5 years and ran the program. So we would hire teaching artists, and teaching artists come teach different classes each quarter. And the range of kids was 5 to 19. So it was really interesting trying to keep everyone engaged in that space at the same time with these different teaching artists. But it was such a joy. It was so fun. I absolutely loved it. I loved the kids. I loved the folks at the community center that we all, you know, we all worked together for a long time. And then the Aurora Commons opened. And so when I heard about what my community was doing with Aurora Commons, and I was a part of the community that built it, it was like everything that this other organization didn't have for me. It was like all heart and like purpose, and their initial heart was for for community and belonging in this really beautiful way with no agenda. And through that community, like the authentic care and authentic being impacted, authentic relationship and being impacted by one another, they would learn that someone, you know, someone had these, you know, basic needs that they just needed met, like, or someone needed a plane ticket home and they had a place to, a safe place to be if they could just get there. And so we would pool our resources and get them a ticket home, or we would remember birthdays, or we would mourn people who we lost together. And it, when I was asked to be a volunteer, I was just beside myself. And then let alone to be staff, I was like, this is the best thing I have ever done in my life. I absolutely love this place. And then around that time, when I was transitioning from one organization to the other, Nature Consortium was able to support me with getting a nonprofit management certificate from the UW. And that is how I was able to, because the Aurora Commons wasn't a 501c3 yet, but I was able to apply like directly the things I was learning in that program to what I was doing at the Commons. And it was like so clear that that was where I needed to move next, was into. And so Nature Consortium helped pay for the first part of the nonprofit certificate, and then the Commons helped pay for the last little bit of the nonprofit certificate management program. And then our ED stepped away and they hired me as the executive director.
So it seems like you were meant to be there. And yeah, just,
I absolutely was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Plan.
Yeah. We never set a different plan for you. So, mm-hmm. Would you mind telling us about a significant challenge that you encountered as a nonprofit leader and how that kind of shaped you as a leader and also shaped your personal life?
The very first challenge that I faced was within the first month of first couple of months of becoming the executive director. Started the Aurora Commons was a program of a church, Awake Church, and we just kept growing, and we kept growing beyond, we realized we kept growing beyond the capacity that the church could continue to support us. And so it became clear at one point that we needed to be our own nonprofit. And I shared with them that it was almost like Awake Church had was nurturing this egg, that we were like an egg, and they were a dove. They were like this little dove nurturing this egg. And it turned out that what hatched wasn't another dove, but it was a turkey. And so we're this turkey sitting in a dove's nest trying to, like, you know, be fed enough and supported enough. And this dove was like, I'm just trying to like make this happen, but it's just, I don't think that you're a dove. I think that you might be a turkey. And so let's, you know, find you a nice turkey family and turkey support. It's a weird analogy, but I just always picture like it was, we just grew, we were so needed in the community, and we needed more support financially, but also with a specific board just for this program than what they could provide. So we were looking at the finances, and this was, you know, we had been without an ED for a number, like at least 6 months, I think, before I was hired. And when we were pulling the finances apart from Awake Church, we realized that Aurora Commons didn't have any money. We had no money coming in. We had no real prospects. We had some funds that were committed through like monthly giving, but it was, you know, mostly going to Awake. And so the first challenge that I face as an executive director is $0 in the bank account and a bunch of staff to pay. I was determined to not have to lay anyone off or not pay people. And so Awake Church community rallied, Tavia organized us, and we raised like $70,000 in like 2 weeks and were able to pay our bills. And then I built us a new website, and I set us up with an easy way to give monthly, and built our first monthly giving program. And so you could give monthly on the website. I got us a case management software and did all of this within like a few months so that people could give monthly. And then we launched a monthly giving campaign. And then that got us through the money we raised for Give Big. And we had some matches and really generous people. Everyone rallied and got their circles to support. And it was this beautiful effort. So we raised like $70,000 in 2 weeks right before Give Big, increased all of our goals and far exceeded them. And no one had to be laid off and we paid our bills. And then 3 years since, you know, we started with, I think our budget was about 100,000, something like that back then. And then today it is like 1.5 million that year that we, you know, didn't have any money, didn't know what we were going to do. And so I would adjust the budget every quarter based on the actuals so that we could like still plan ahead a little bit, but not, you know, if we raise X amount of dollars by this date, then we can, you know, continue to buy milk and eggs, you know, something like that. So I had all these, like, I called them like DEFCON 1, 2, 3, or 4. And they were like red, green. I color coded these budgets. And I don't know if that's how you're supposed to do it, but that's what we did. Every quarter we'd adjust the budget based on what we thought we were going to do in the next quarter and based on how much money we had brought in and all of that. So we made it through.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, literally paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. What would you, if a young person came to you and said, I want to start my own nonprofit, what advice would you give them?
Give them advice that they didn't want to hear. What you'll hear in the nonprofit sector as you kind of dig into it is that a lot of people will tell you not to start a new nonprofit. They'll tell you, and I agree with that in many ways. I agree with that in many ways because there are, you know, nonprofits that are small that have already done all the hard work of starting a 501c3 and they just need someone with passion and purpose and drive to bring them up to the next level or to expand their programming to include this passion that you have. So I think the first thing I would do is ask, why do you want to start a nonprofit? You know, most of the time, in my opinion, I don't think it's another nonprofit that needs to be started. I think it's another program or project that could be started under the umbrella of an organization that's established. It's really a lot of work, a lot of really, really hard work to start and maintain a nonprofit over time.
Great advice. Thank you. Would love for you to finish this sentence for me. If money weren't a barrier, our nonprofit would
hire more staff and be open more hours and diversify the programming that we offer. And the resources, the emergency fund that we offer our folks. There's a lot of emergencies that we help folks navigate. You know, moms with children who don't have anywhere to sleep that night in 24 degree weather. This happened last December. And she was on a waiting list for a shelter. And if we didn't put her in a motel, at least until we could find a program to put her in, she would have been outside with a baby. So emergency services, I would increase the emergency services and I would increase our hours and staffing to be able to support folks better. Because right now we're only open still after all this time, Monday through Thursday, 10 to 1, and Monday nights and Wednesday nights for men's and women's nights. So,
Finally, what can the community do to support Aurora Commons?
We could always use volunteers. We have breakfast crews that make our breakfast every morning. Lots of signups for making breakfast. We have volunteer opportunities in the space. We have an online giving page, so donations of, you know, cash, and that's always awesome. What the community can do to support Aurora Commons is to learn about homelessness and about, you know, the opioid epidemic and about commercial sexual exploitation, and to have compassion on people who they encounter out in the world. I think that's what the city needs. The city needs compassion for people that are suffering.
Thank you so much. I couldn't agree with you more. So it was lovely learning more about Aurora Commons and you, and I will definitely post the link to your website on this podcast. So
thank you so much. It's great to chat with you.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe. Also, now available, Nonprofit Fundraising Lessons from the Trenches, authored by me. You can find it on Amazon or go directly to my website, caseforsupportconsulting.org. And hope this book will be a great guide to help you elevate your cause. Thank you, and we'll see you again on From Passion to Purpose.